Hey everybody, this is the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared, that's Dan. Hey,
that's
Dan,
me. I'm Dan. How are you?
I'm good, man.
I'm talking to you, I'm talking to the listeners. I'm waiting for their response. Let's wait.
Okay. Boy.
Okay.
Wow.
Now that they've said their piece, we can continue with the show.
I thought we were friends. So this is a podcast. Yes.
Where we review independent films.
Thank you.
Am I taking the words out of your mouth? See, we are friends.
No, that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with it.
So, this week, we were perusing our submissions, and we went down chronologically from when we received them. And this week, it happened to be The Exigency by Cody DeBott.
Say that again?
The Exigency.
The Exigency.
Directed by Cody Vibart. Okay. Sorry, Cody. We love you. Your name is not one I've seen before.
Challenging to the challenged.
Just like
for us.
The Exigency.
Yes. This was a real treat. I am really glad we saw this.
I am extremely glad we saw this. I have something I want to tell you.
Sure.
From now on, if somebody ever comes up to me and is like, hey, do you like Star Wars? I'll be like, have you not heard of The Exigency?
Star Wars? More like Star Bores.
Seriously.
Try this.
Seriously. This film blew my mind in a way Star Wars can't.
Dan, could you please describe The Exigency in 30 seconds or less?
I feel like it's simple enough to explain. It's not as crazy and like outlandish as Violent Voyager.
It's pretty classic.
But it still has a lot of craziness to it. So basically, there's this man named Ander, right? His name is Ander?
His name is Kyle.
Kyle. He goes by Kyle now. Anyway, Kyle is a mild-mannered accountant or whatever. And it turns out that he's not really a mild-mannered accountant. He is the warlord of a race of humans from a different planet.
A retired warlord.
You're right. And he's summoned back to his home planet because they're about to get their ass kicked by a tyrant named Diedrich. But that's basically what this film is about.
Cool. I'm sorry, I wasn't even correcting you. I just like saying, I wanted to say Diedrich.
The insanity that ensues around that plot is something that you can never hope for or imagine, and it just comes to you in tasty little morsels. Not to mention, the whole thing is animated in a very strange, uncanny valley video game from the 2002 era, maybe. So,
okay,
the animation is jarring, but it's so fun.
My first impressions of this is we got it submitted. I saw the stills of it and I was like, oh no, I'm worried because I'm looking at these stills of this movie and like Dan was saying, it looks like a PS2 video game. And I'm like, I don't know. But then he told me this movie took 13 years to make. Of like him and a team of people just working on this probably whenever they could, you know. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then I watched this film and I did a 180 turnaround on liking this film within minutes.
Yeah.
Like I think within the first minute I was already like, this is amazing. And nothing had even happened. Like nothing even crazy happened yet.
Yeah.
Because of the performances, the voice acting of that was really great. I thought
the
animation
felt
like was charming.
You were watching a FMV sequence of a video game. Like
yes,
they took it seriously.
Yeah.
The voice acting was on point, And it just, like, even though the animation's jarring, you can still just get sucked right into the drama.
Yes.
Of it all.
Well, the jankiness of it, they're aware. It's very obvious that they know this is the limitation of what's going on and what they have to work with. And they have fun with it. Like, this movie's hilarious.
Absolutely.
Intentionally so funny.
And the comedy works almost all the time.
Yes. There were some of these characters I liked a lot. Let me get the name of the crew. Oh, what was the name of the crew? Because they were wonderful. Captain Keon and Nyklas could just have their own TV show. I could just watch Keon. Those guys. There's some scenes with them that are just so priceless. Man, we're going to have to start spoiling this movie immediately because...
Yeah.
I mean... Okay, no. All right, let's do questions. I mean, what okay, are we doing here?
Jared,
we gotta follow the rules. Dan.
Follow our own rules that we make that we refuse
arbitrary.
To break.
That's right. The arbitrary rules that Jared has made.
Jared.
Yes.
How many times, if you were to Several. Give a fair guesstimate, did you laugh at anything in this movie?
I thought you were gonna say ejaculate, but I laughed a lot. I mean,
I laughed a lot too.
I can't even do a laughs per, you know, 10-minute thing that I normally do. Almost every single joke landed. It was hilarious. And that the little kid...
The little kid is probably
Tim,
one of my favorite
who's like
characters.
Hank Hill. Personified. And he's got a t-shirt on that just
this
says pimp.
Pimp.
The entire film, he's got this fucking pimp t-shirt on. He's like, cool, dude. Oh, I fucking loved him. Okay, so Dan, question
yes.
for you.
Yes, please.
Were you able to predict where this movie was going to go?
No. This film surprised the fuck out of me.
Where did you think it was going to go within the first 5 minutes? Like, when we were still in the office, where did you think it was?
I thought Kyle was going to be, like, a secret agent man, like 007 type person.
Okay.
I was not expecting an intergalactic... intergalactic.
When I was watching this, I see Kyle and I'm already totally on board with him being the main character. I was like, this guy's great. I'm totally into him. There's something weird and charming about it. There's something that the director and the writers, I'm not sure who the writers is, probably Cody as well, but that the characters feel so real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like Hollywood writing. There's so many little moments that felt so real.
Which is why the impact of the alien invasion hurts so much whenever it happens.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You're like, no, not Kyle, please.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm already on board with Kyle. Oh, man,
but
we got to spoil this
good
movie
news.
Real soon.
Kyle knows but, how to fucking... Kyle knows how to work.
Yeah. Kyle was trained by the best. Oh my god, I could talk about this movie for 3 hours. So I'm gonna finish what I'm gonna say, and then we're gonna get into spoilers because we have to. I had thought this movie was gonna be about some kind of like time loop that Kyle was in because there's some weird shit going on with him and his boss, and I'm like, everything is going so well for him right now, and like his boss like teleports like from one spot to like over to another, and. And I was like, is this intentional? Is like, what's going on? And that was before I realized a lot of this was like played for laughs of like the boss moving around like that. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be in some weird Groundhog Day shit. And then the fucking aliens attack. And then, fuck. Okay. We're going to spoil this movie. I 100% with all
Watch
my heart recommend this film.
This movie.
It's so
Watch
much
it.
Fun.
Like I said.
It's so much fun.
Star Wars. This movie just... there's going to be a fucking sequel.
I'm so annoyed because I don't want to wait 13 years for the sequel. Come on. Get your shit together. Let's
oh
go.
God.
Now you got people who are watching this and
I was in such disbelief about the sequel, too, because like the story was not coming to an end. I'm like, how long have I watched? And I
paused
it. And I'm like, there's only 5 minutes left. How is this going to work?
Dude, he's going to have a 1-year turnaround, and it's just going to be the characters like flopping into each other. And like, like, all the voice acting's out the window. It's just him like wiggling the 3D models.
I'll watch this again in another 13 years. I'll tell you what.
Guys, Amazon Prime, go watch it right now. I can't even pronounce the title, but I love it so much.
The Exigency.
Apparently, it is a real word. I would like to read that definition right now. Let's go. No, I don't have to. It's something like doing shit with urgency. I think it's what the definition is. All right, Dan, let's talk about every single scene of the film chronologically, and we'll not stop talking about it forever because it is our favorite thing.
So, movie spoilers starting now.
Movie spoilers. Dan, talk about a scene.
He gets a promotion at work.
Mm-hmm.
And his boss's desk doesn't seem very big at first.
Uh-huh.
So there's this one scene where he's like, congratulations, here, have a cigar. And he throws the cigar at him. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. There's a running bit where people just throw shit at him.
It pans around the table and I'm like, oh, he's like 5 feet away from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That made me laugh a lot. Oh, man.
So when the aliens started attacking,
yes,
and he is just doing this action hero shit, I'm like, are they going to even explain why he's doing any of this?
They don't need to.
And then, I mean, it kind of does eventually because you're like, oh, he's some like war veteran hero guy. But this whole action sequence is amazing. And then the sheriff. This is when I finally realized my favorite sheriff in the world. No, he's the chief of police. Like, this is the chief of police. He's like, aliens, please comply with my demands. He's like, they're not complying. He's open fire.
We're under a terrorist attack. Quite possibly like North Korea or Los Angeles.
Yeah, he's like, we must enter glowing black or
bright
something.
Bright black.
Yeah, something crazy. And he's like, sir, is that even a level of threat? He's like, that's the level they don't want you to know about.
Brilliant.
There was a line he says, it was like just after we were done with the sheriff. And the sheriff has like this big, or I keep calling him the sheriff because he had this dumb sheriff's hat on that he gets.
He stole that from somebody who was running away.
From an actual sheriff, yeah. And he was like, I picked the wrong day to skip my son's wedding.
I wrote that down too.
I'm blinking very furiously right now. Wow, what an amazing, just beautiful.
It's one of my favorite things. So stepping away from the sheriff, there's like a very long scene in which Kyle is trying to get his family and take them far away so they're safe. Mm-hmm. But during the scene, there are two things that are incredible attention to detail kind of jokes that are just in there. The first is Kyle lights a cigar. He jumps out of the window, lands on
the spaceship, lights a cigar,
and blows up the alien spaceship with the cigar. How does he do it? He unscrews the fuel cap.
Oh my God.
Do I know it's a fuel cap? Because on the side of this alien spaceship is the word fuel. I couldn't stop laughing at that.
Let's just say it didn't take long for me to realize that this was a comedy. I was like, holy shit,
then,
that is so funny.
Really,
I rewound and watched it again.
Oh, I'm going to watch it again for sure.
I watched it again.
If you pay really close attention in the mirror, and you know how it says objects in mirror are closer than they appear on your rear view mirror? In this one, it says objects in mirror are things that are behind you.
No way!
Yeah, I paused it because it went by really quick.
That's so funny. Holy shit. Oh, man. I will say, the comedy does kind of like slow down after you get to the middle.
Well,
because
you have
it wants to focus on the drama.
Yeah, you
got to
focus on the drama of it. And the drama was decent. Like, I think it was well written for sure.
Yeah.
The imagination of Cody Vibar.
Only issues with the film are just some like questionable things that the main character would do.
Okay,
so it's like not anything technical or anything like that. But like, why would he? So like, okay, you got these two aliens chasing you, right?
Why would he go to his family even though he knows they're trying to chase him? I thought the same thing. Yeah.
He's putting his family in danger by doing this.
And then
bitches the whole
movie about how his family's in danger.
Yes.
And how he wants to protect them.
He put them in danger. And then eventually this ship comes, a good ship. and abducts them, and it is part of the planet Galesha that he's from. Oh, so when they get abducted and they're hanging out with Captain Neon, who's the best, and Nyclus, who's the best. He's the best great boy Jenga playing motherfucker anyone has ever seen. They're here, and the film does such a good job of explaining what is going on. Who are these people? Why are we in a ship? Where are we going? Who is the ruler? Like, all of that stuff was exposition, mm-hmm. but I felt like it was done in such a good way, and they tell you the names of things over and over, and because at first it was like Galesha, and I was like, you know, like hearing like characters' names, and I'm like, I'm not gonna remember any of this shit, and then like 3 minutes, I was like, oh yeah, I know everything.
Now. One of my favorites.
They do such a good job of like you totally get familiar with all these terms.
The alien planet or the evil planet is called Anumbus.
Anumbus, dude.
That made me laugh.
Dydrick is an excellent villain name. Yeah. Dydrick is so good.
And then you're introduced to something that's fucking, it blows your mind. Mm-hmm. Dydrick, whenever you're introduced to him, has a gigantic scar over his face.
Yeah.
In a flashback where you see Ander, mm-hmm. provoking him. So Kyle. This whole thing is Ander's fault, by the way.
Yes, it is.
This whole thing is Ander's fault. But in a previous scene, it was a flashback, and you see Dydrick again, and he doesn't have the scar. So now you're like, I want to know how he got that gigantic scar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I hope that's explained in Exigency 2.
Right? They better. And like I said, turn around. You guys got 6 months. So we're waiting. Let's go. Okay. There is a moment.
Okay.
Where Kyle Anders is explaining to his... So he explains to his family everything that's going on. They kind of accept it. It's tough. It's tough for the mom. The kids accept it immediately because they're little kids. They don't care. But later on, they're at this dinner where... Because, like, everyone's trying to convince Anders to help fight in the war. And he doesn't want to. He just wants to go back home to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'll announce my decision at this coronation thing, whatever, this like ball, this town hall meeting. But he's talking to his wife for a bit and he's like, listen, honey, I might get this might be wrong when this happens, but whatever. He's like, honey, here's my backstory. I was a little kid and my parents died during an invasion and this like fucking badass old man comes. Oh, what was the old man's
Malangular.
Name? Malangular is... He could have his own movie!
He's just a shirtless old man that just...
Fucking shirtless old man with knives!
Kills robots with knives.
So fucking awesome! He's so cool! And I'm like, are they going to do a training montage? He's going to train his little kids in the art of Malangularing? And he's like, yes. Yes, they are. Let's go. And you're like, fuck yeah. Yes, yes, yes. It was so good. I loved all of that. But then, so then they get into like, he's a war hero. He's fought in 14 wars and he only looks like maybe he's in his late 40s. I was like, Jesus, this guy's a fucking murder crazy. He is a war legend. They have statues of him on this planet.
Yeah.
And he's telling his wife, listen, you know, I was the general, you know, and I was a war hero and everyone loved me, but I had only known war and fighting for so long that in order to keep my status and in order to, you know, like help his ego or whatever, he's like, I started to try to perpetuate wars
mm-hmm.
just to keep my standing. Because it's almost like people in power have to demonstrate it every now and again. It's kind of what the movie talks about a lot, about how wars are and everything. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty on point, you know? And so he fell into this trap, and then he starts this fucking shit with Dydrick in that scene Dan was talking about where he doesn't have the scar. And then they just immediately cut away. They're like, oh, we can't finish that story because now we got some other shit going on. And it's all you think about for the rest of the film. You're like, oh my God, fucking Kyle is the villain. Kyle is the worst. Like, I loved Kyle so much, and now he's the bad guy? What is going on here? So,
and then it almost makes you not feel bad for anything that happens to him.
I mean, I do. I still feel bad. Yeah, but I feel like, bad I love for him, the...
But, like, the whole thing that we brought up earlier, the fact that he... his family is in this because of him, because he felt like he needed to be protector. But then, you know, this whole...
In multiple, more ways than one, exactly. Honestly. And who would have thought a character that wasn't one-dimensional? You know, it's like, wow. Hollywood can't even do this kind of shit. I love it. I love how, you know... I feel one way about a character, then I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, you get mixed feelings because you're already invested.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's so good. All right, let's talk about some more scenes. Dan, go ahead.
One of my favorite lines, I forgot the context of it. I should have written down the whole thing.
Sure.
But Keon says something. I think it's Keon. Says something.
Yeah.
Or Captain? It's his mom. I don't remember. But somebody says something, and then Timmy offhandedly says, "I'll show you luminous balls."
Jesus.
Like, Timmy is one of the best characters, I think.
He is so good. He's a little scamp. I love him. How did you like Romber, who's the real villain? He's the Rancor? Villain of... Yeah, the Rancor, dude. With a fucking Thor hammer.
Oh, man, he was amazing. So, yeah.
That shoots lasers out of it.
By real villain, we're talking about the fact that he is kind of the opposing antagonistic force for a good majority of, like, the fight scenes.
Yeah.
And he's basically the cybernetic Rancor-looking thing. And
he's like Goro on steroids.
Yeah, Goro on steroids for sure. And he is a beast. He like Jared said, he has a Thor hammer that shoots out lasers, and he's really good at using it. And I really thought that they weren't going to be able to beat him.
Yeah, it was great. I love that whole fight scene. It because, like, there's a big lull in the middle of the movie where people are just, like, talking, and there's still comedy and everything, but there's no action.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the action kicks back up, it's fucking fantastic. When we get John Wick in this shit, and Kyle is, like, fucking doing his Hapkido and beating the shit out of people, it's wonderful. And then this whole Romber guy shows up, and it's... Mwah. I love it. It was so good.
Romber was...
Really having fun with that. There are too many scenes to talk about. I don't think we should get to all of them, honestly, because I want people to watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't even mentioned the king.
Yeah, the king, his name is Sargon.
Sargon.
He's, like, he's a bumbling, fat idiot who likes to eat.
Yeah.
And, like...
King Sargon. Whenever,
it's so funny because as Kyle is explaining to his wife everything that we...
Yeah.
Like, the information dump, he mentions, he's like, well, Sargon is the king of this country and he's kind of an idiot. Like, he says it out loud.
But what's so good is you hear his name and you're already like, that sounds like a dummy name. Like, that's how good the naming is in this. You're like, Sargon? All right, this guy's a dingus. But
one thing...
Oh, man, Sargon is great.
One thing that we should bring up as we come to a close, because we do want you to all watch this. It's a bit longer. It's about a minute or an hour and 50 minutes. 52 minutes, somewhere around there. But it's well worth it. There's going to be a sequel. And... Jared and I looked it up on YouTube, on Cody Vibart's YouTube channel. There is a blooper reel for this film in which it's all voice acting. So Cody had to physically animate the bloopers to make it look like a real blooper reel. And it's so ingenious. It's wonderful.
There's a bunch of videos on here. I think I might look through a few of them. But yeah, this is... It's pretty great. You get a flavor for what the movie is.
Final thoughts. Sure. I think...
Yeah.
I'm just so in love with the fact that they chose this. They chose this PS2 FMV sequence as their aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they made it work.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. I like...
Yeah.
I go into every movie blind... And I was like, just based on the animation, I was not expecting the level of showmanship and storytelling.
Yeah, it's like they took a Half-Life mod and made a coherent story with real voice actors.
Yeah.
And made you care about the characters and laugh with it, not at it. And I think it's a fucking achievement. It's amazing. Definitely it's wonderful.
So are you looking forward to the Exigency 2?
Yes, give it to me. I'm a baby.
You heard it here first, Cody. We want the Exigency 2.
Give me my binky, motherfucker.
Dydrick Remains.
That's right. Dydrick's Revenge. Revenge of the Fallen.
Revenge of the Fallen Dydrick. No. I think Dydrick's Revenge would work.
Kyle's Just Desserts.
The Jewel of Anubis.
Oh, the jewels, baby.
I'll just keep giving him possible the family subtitles. Jewels.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep tweeting
Delicious
you.
Last Hope.
I'm going to keep tweeting Cody Pabarn my ideas.
Bothering him with title names for the sequel. Give me a writing credit. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, shit. My final thoughts. Yeah, it's amazing. I recommend this to everyone. Go see it. If you can get past how the film looks, which I like I said, within a minute, I was already like, this is great. Because I feel like that is going to be a major turnoff for people.
Absolutely.
They'll see the stills.
Don't judge
a book
by its cover.
This isn't Pixar. And they're going to cry and complain.
If you like sci-fi movies, this film is up your alley.
Yeah, people are going to be whiny babies, and they're going to look at it, and they're not going to want to see it. But I swear to God, if you give this movie like 5 minutes, you're like, all right, I'm in. Let's fucking go. But this movie's wonderful. Almost no real complaints. I can't think of anything.
I can't think of anything either.
I'm trying to think of any other actual criticism I would have for this. Okay, like I said, it gets a little slow in the middle. But there's still enough comedy there to really carry you through it.
Yeah.
And the action is so fucking
great. And you're invested
great.
In the characters.
Yes.
And you mm-hmm. The characters are set up so well, like mm-hmm. Timmy and Kyle and everybody, that you put your trust in them that you are going to be entertained. And they don't fail you. It's wonderful.
Here's this movie to me. I'll give you one little scene. So they're on this train that's heading to the King's Castle. I love how they mix this medieval style with mm-hmm. the fantasy sci-fi. That's cool. I love that shit. So they're all on the train together, and then Captain Keon shows up. He's like, hey, Kyle, we haven't got a chance to meet. I was the captain flying you here. He's like, hey, my name's Captain Keon or whatever. And he goes, oh, okay. Good to meet you. He's like, all right. And then he backs up slowly and just sits down. Because it's so awkward, because, like, he does this big, like, introduction, and it's like, there's nowhere for him to go, because they're in a train, so he's like, I guess I'll sit down now in front of you. It was fucking great, because Kyle just had nothing to say to him. Oh, it was wonderful. Oh, he treats the ship crew like shit, but I love them so much. Okay, anyways. Dan, let's
yes, you can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. By the way, we're on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Spotify.
By the way.
You can totally go check us out all those places. We will respond to you.
Yes. Within 2 to 3 business weeks, we will absolutely respond to you. I've been trying to be better about responding. I'm real slow about it.
We're only human.
That's a song, right? Guys, Necropodicon is where we live. It's where we coexist with our fellow podcasters. Podcasts aplenty on Necropodicon, and I encourage you to go and check them all out. Because if you're like, hey, this show's pretty good, maybe this other pretty good show's out there, pretty good. Yeah, you're right. So you should go over there and check out the Necropodicon.com. And if you go there, you can click on a link and join the Discord and talk to me, Jared, and the other one. What's your name? Who are you?
Dan.
Oh, Dan. Dan is here.
Yes, we are both active members on the Discord, and we will talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
If you like to be talked to.
Mm-hmm. So that's all I got to say about that. And thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you, and I think about you all the time. And I want you to tell the people about the podcast because that makes me happy. You know how, like, when you clap to believe in fairies and shit? It's the same thing with me, but you have to tell people about the podcast. It's science. Just don't worry about it. Dan, you got the final
one. If you're like me and you do not want to wait another 13 years for the Exigency 2, I'm just kidding.
No, it's true. I mean, we don't want to wait.
Yeah. If you are like me and don't want to wait for it, then check out my fanfic I'm writing called The Exigency 1.5 Sargon Sack.
I'm Emily.
I'm Erica.
And we're your new best friends,
whether you like it or not.
Listen to Grow Out of It every Sunday to make fun of us,
as all best friends should,
while we read our old creative writing from our childhoods.
There's a first time for everything, the magnified voice replied.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Morgus, and I will destroy you.
Classic Morgus.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.